WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio. Boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, this is Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team.
I'm Al Snow.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
I could increase my work rate. I could add to the five moves of doom, or maybe let my heel persona shine through.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ew.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is the masterpiece, Chris Masters.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I have tried to treat you all as adults, but obviously I am the only adult here.
Omega.
You'll do my bidding or taste my wrath.
Mace.
You can't get away from me, Vince. I'm coming for you. Pull that bus over, I'll drag you out of there and beat the piss out of you, you billionaire bastard!
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Who in the blue hell are you?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby!
I'm making you go away!
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And the WTR Network would like to remind you that during this holiday season, we could all use just a little bit more TLC. Before you say goodnight to your family, be sure to introduce them to the broadside of a folding chair.
Wow!
This is
well
the Omega.
Well done!
This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the WTR Network, and joining me tonight, we have Lindsay.
I'm still reeling from that. That was just epic, dude. Well played. Very well played.
Thank you. Thank you. That would be our producer, Sir Rockin, chuckling in the back.
Damn right. That was good.
And the silent man in the group is the one and only Tim Stein. See, completely silent.
Chirp, 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 chirp.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, eh?
All right, moving on.
Tim, plug your shit in.
Apparently he's not talking.
Tim? Okay, well, fuck it, it's the three of us. So let's talk about something other than the pay-per-view, because, well, he's not here to make us.
By the way, we're brought to you by TweetAudio.com. Visit them. Yeah, and save some money. Oh, interesting weekend, huh? Someone's getting a lot of snow.
Dude, you have no idea.
Damn it. I blame Omega for my audio difficulties. It's your fault for...
What?
That opener made me chuckle, and I, like, leaned back and unplugged the goddamn mic from the back of...
And
the way everything's set up, I gotta crawl under the goddamn table, move the other table, get the printer out of the way, crane around in a very unnatural angle, just so I can see the plug to get the goddamn thing in.
You don't have an audio jack in the front?
Doesn't work. Well done, Omega. Well done. And it doesn't work, not because it's busted. It doesn't work because it's disconnected.
Because it didn't work.
Because you own it.
How about fuck you? You and your cheap fucking shots, just because you got big tits. I don't think so.
I'll take it whether I got big tits or not.
I said it. I said it, goddammit.
If it's a Tim Stein computer, it means it's not working correctly.
Fuck you, it's working fine. Everything's working fine. All my shit works great now. Because I laid out money for a new hard drive, which my computer needed because the old one was buggered up. That's why I kept disconnecting from Justin TV. Then I laid out money for a brand new wireless router.
Alright, are we talking actually something brand new or something new?
I bought it at Walmart.
Ooh, look at you.
Stepping up in the world.
Cost me $39.97.
Actually paid full price or something.
God damn straight. I could have bought the but I saw the $39.97 one and went, ooh, that's cheaper. Wait a minute. Okay, now we can start.
And apparently that was your Hanukkah gift to yourself.
What the fuck is this Hanukkah bullshit? I'm not Jewish. Rock is. Come on, smarten up, King Kittens.
It's going to be a fun night, I can tell already.
Yeah, my internet
Kane Kittens is taking shots early. Does that mean he won Pick'em?
No, but according to Kane Kittens, the world has come to an end because of who did win Pick'em.
Because Tim
was correct. We'll get to that.
Because Tim didn't hear it on the rack where I said the prize for the winner of Pick'em got to come on the air tonight and bash you.
No, I didn't hear that. So it doesn't.
That was the prize I was, you know, throwing out there, and then everyone was like, yeah, I'll enter this contest.
You know what? Go blow your nose, okay? Just shut up. just, you know, have a coke and a smile. Old joke, yes, I know. Just
an oldie but a goodie. But only but a goodie?
Don't you have like a ham sandwich to choke on? What?
I didn't even get that one.
It's not Mom's Mabel.
Yeah, nobody's going to understand that one, and I just might explain it to you later.
Oh, good lord.
Yeah, so it was WWE's TLC pay-per-view, the last one of 2012, and if the minds are correct, the last one ever. Did it suck?
Oh, God.
I was going to say, actually, there was one match in particular on this card that made it worth it.
And I know it's a six-man tag featuring a three-man band.
Believe it or not, that's the scary thing. This match actually made the pay-per-view. Definitely match of the night. Of course, it happened to have like halfway through the pay-per-view. We'll get to it. Why don't we start at the very beginning, starting with what happened before the pay-per-view?
Where, I'm going to steal Lindsay's line, we learned that Alicia Fox is a furry.
She was dressed like a goddamn reindeer.
Okay,
she's dressed in fur plenty of times before.
Yeah, but let's compensate for Rock's accent buggered up by the fact that his nose is stuffed up from this cold. Not fairy.
I said furry.
No, it sounded like you said fairy. The way you talk.
No, it sounded like furry. Well, unplug your damn ears.
Just unplug my damn ears and quit doing that, okay? Shut up until I'm done.
No.
A lot of people, me included, like fairy. It's furry. God damn it. Learn how to say not air.
A.
Stupid American.
A.
And you pick on my accent because I'm Canadian. Oh,
a.
My God. I don't say a boot.
You just did.
The
only time
and
I ever say a boot
friend.
Is when I say I'm going to put on a boot and kick you with it.
So that. By the way, we replaced boots to asses tonight, and we'll get to that later.
We replaced boots to asses?
Yeah.
It's still not as catchy as hashtag canes to asses, but it works.
Yeah, it does. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, as long as it works. That's all that's going to matter, I suppose. Yeah, thanks everybody for tuning in. Let's talk about the pay-per-view with Naomi winning the Diva Battle Royal on the YouTube-aired pre-pay-per-view match. What the? Yeah, okay.
They say she's a good worker, so.
Well, you know, we're going to find out during the pay-per-view itself whether or not she really is. But, yeah, who expected Naomi to actually win the damn thing? Nobody.
Was it Naomi or was it Cameron?
It was Naomi.
Yeah, Cameron was in the back with...
Brodus Clay.
Yeah.
Supposedly, but it has not been confirmed or denied if we had a Frunkosaurus sighting.
That was Brodus Clay? In the back? Yeah, the blue tracksuit with the pink fur hat?
I thought it was purple.
It looked pink to me. It did. It looked pink. Anyway, they're in the back cheering her on. The pay-per-view starts kicking off tag team match. We had the World Scholars versus the Masked Mexicans, better known as Rey Mysterio and Sin Cara Omega.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to see much of this one.
There's nothing unfortunate about that. It actually wasn't what they could have opened the pay-per-view with. You know, instead of this, there are a couple other matches they could have used. Again, it's Sin Cara, and what do we always say he's guilty of all the time? Botching shit. It looked like basically the finish of the match, he went and botched himself, Lindsay.
Yeah, it looks like he messed himself up pretty good, so I hope he's okay, but honestly, I thought this was a great opener. It got you into the pay-per-view, and I just plain love Road Scholars, so to see them out there first thing and see them pick up the win, it was a nice opening. It got me at least into the pay-per-view. I don't know about anybody else, but
well,
I liked it.
Let's ask the guy who's just the producer. Rock, what did you think of the opener?
I agree with Lindsay. It was a good opener, and Cody's mustache is over more than anyone on the roster. Well, half the roster, I should say.
Thank you for pointing that out. I was wondering who was going to bring up Cody's mustache. Maybe we should see if we can get that trending. I mean, we got the chant going, right?
There was a chant. I don't know if we got it going, but yeah.
I didn't mean to say that we were the ones who started the damn chant at the pay-per-view. I said we got the chant.
Okay, well, we got it then. Fine.
So, Omega, how did you miss most of this match?
That's when dinner came.
Oh, well, that would explain it. We have to make sure that you have a full tummy. You eat late.
Yeah. I get told that a lot.
Yeah, it was like, what, 8:15 your time by the time you finally sat down with a plate.
That's not late.
That's kind of late.
That's not late.
I like to have dinner at 6:30 p.m. at the latest.
Well, that's because you're old.
That's not... Piss off. God damn it. Don't make me turn the show around. Bloody hell. So I personally thought the match was a little bit... It not as hot as some that we have been treated to, so maybe I felt a little spoiled with it. It wasn't horrible. And thank goodness it was the Road Scholars in there going up against anybody with Sin Cara. But is it just me, or does Rey Mysterio look like he's starting to lose a step or two?
Yeah, he's definitely losing a step or two. You can clearly tell the injuries are catching up with him.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring that up just in case it opened up another can of worms for the head.
By the way, if you turn this show around, does that mean we bring back old co-host?
Like who?
Oh, Internet Dave?
You want to suffer through Internet Dave?
No, I'm just saying.
Who the hell is Internet Dave?
Thank you, Lindsay.
No. Who the fuck is Internet Dave?
Thank you, Lindsay.
Waiting for it.
No, I'm just asking because, you say you're going to turn the show around. I mean, just asking the question.
I was just saying, Anyway.
Moving on.
Anyway, yeah. So, Road Scholars win this one, and we'll probably find out as early as midnight Mountain Time. How badly, if Cara actually did get himself buggered up, I'm sure it'll be posted on all the internet wrestling sites such as PWMania.com. Proud sponsors of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Next match of the night, Antonio Cesaro taking on R-Truth, and this is for the U.S. title. And problem is, my video all of a sudden started, it switched to German, so I didn't quite understand what they were saying.
Are you sure it's actually switched to German, or that Cesaro was just talking in German?
Maybe it was like maybe that's like Sin Cara's blue lights in the match. Maybe when Antonio comes on, they just alternate between languages.
Yeah, because I heard German, and his lips were not moving. So,
Interesting.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, now, unfortunately, I missed most of this match because it was my dinner time.
Well, okay, wait.
What?
You ate later than me.
No, time I didn't. Time difference.
It was only 6:30 here.
Still amuses me the way you phrased it.
I had to. It was funny. So what did you think of the match, Omega?
Wasn't bad. Cesaro's starting to grow on me a little bit. I still find his character boring, but he can work the ring. That's all I ask at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and R-Truth was R-Truth. And did anyone see the picture he tweeted of his knee after that match?
No. Do you have a link for us to check out?
Yeah, let me see if I can pull it up.
You pull up the link and we'll go to Lindsay.
It was an enjoyable match. I liked it. Mm-hmm. Very entertaining. Of course, go Cesaro.
I was just about to say, I was just going to ask you if Cesaro's doing it for you.
He is. I really enjoy his style.
Okay. Of course, if Alan Wojcik was here, I'm sure we'd get a name drop.
And besides, he carries a merce. I mean, how can you not like a guy with a man purse? Come on.
Holy crap, K Quick got cut.
Oh my god.
That's not a cut. That's not a cut. That's his flesh tearing open.
Yeah, no, that's.
Ow.
Holy Ramoli.
And he wasn't even in one of the table ladders or chair matches.
I know. We're talking about Dolph getting his leg cut. I don't think it compares to that one.
No.
It was a scratch compared to this. I mean, sure, it was a lot longer, but it was just an abrasion. This is a shark bite.
That's a lot of stitches.
Yeah, it is.
That's missing skin. Is that like down at the, if you look at the, like in the little to the right in the middle?
I don't want to look at it any longer.
Is that like a, like his skin?
Don't want to know.
Dude.
I don't
want to
look at it again.
Just to gross everybody out, Rock, you should like post the picture.
I linked it in the chat room. So if they want to click it, they can click it. If they don't, you know.
Viewer discretion is advised. Yeah, viewer discretion is advised.
Yeah,
not for those who have a weak stomach.
This is not a scab or a paper cut.
This is something that you see in those for doctors.
This looks like that when they go behind the scenes, so at the hospital when someone's getting an injury fixed.
Yeah.
Except no one's fixing it.
Yeah, they're just like, say, hey, take a picture, it's wide open. But, you know, don't blame us. We did warn you before you clicked that link. I hope it was...
I like the priority system out there. So I've slashed my entire knee wide open. I can see my muscle tissue. Someone get a camera.
Yeah, someone get a camera.
That's what's up.
Medical expenses.
But you don't see his little Jimmy, like, right behind it going, oh, my God.
Oh my god! And you have little Jimmy in a little doctor's outfit with a stethoscope, looking out, trying to examine it.
Yeah.
Man, listening to you talk when you have a cold, I almost feel sympathy for you. So yeah, that was nice and totally gross. I don't know what it is, you guys. You say Cesaro's growing on you, Lindsay. I don't know what it is. He just comes across as just being a little too boring, and all of the stuff he says to get heat, it's just a little too obviously cliched, and it turns me off the character.
He's getting better. I like him more now without Oksana.
Mm-hmm.
And he's getting better, I think, as he starts to grow and develop and change. he'll continue to improve. Because he's one of those that I'm kind of convinced they're not quite sure what to do with. They like him. They know he's talented. They know he's getting over. They just have no idea what to do with it.
But once they do, he's going to be over, and he's going to be a big star. because he can go in the ring, and that's one thing they need right now. Someone who can really go.
Yeah, this is true. But at the same time, with WWE selling the sizzle as much as the steak, they need somebody who is over without doing anything in the ring, or before he does anything in the ring. But it's like you're saying, they still need to find who he is. I don't think they've really found Antonio Cesaro yet.
But they have time. He's not their priority yet. They have a few guys before him that can go up to that spot. He's allowed to work his way up.
Okay, that being said, should he have had the title put on him so quickly then?
Yeah.
They kind of did it out of necessity. It was sort of a needful thing, but
it works. Having him hold the title works. It brings him more credibility, holding a title, because as we've clearly seen with people winning matches repeatedly, it doesn't always get you over, Brodus Clay.
Yeah, I think sticking him in a feud and having him striving towards goals definitely helps get him over more than just squash matches. It makes him more, and especially putting that U.S. title on him, it gives him some importance. It gives him some prestige. You look at him and you go, oh, at least he's somewhat impressive. And if he can continue to be impressive, like when he picked Brodus Clay up for his finisher, everybody went, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
So if he can continue to do stuff like that, I think that's going to help him, because that one move got a lot of people's attention of him.
Yeah. Well, I have to agree with you on that one. Omega, any thoughts or opinions before we move on?
No, I'm pretty covered.
Oh, before we do move on, the person to take the title from Cesaro, Jack Swagger.
People were talking that would be a pretty damn good matchup between the two of them, especially with the U.S. title on the line, hey?
Yeah, because he's claiming no one from America, from the U.S., can beat him.
Mm.
Is it wrong I want Swagger to come out to I'm a real American?
Only if he can pull it off.
I don't know if he can pull it off.
Maybe he can come back as Mr. America.
Oh, brother.
Give him the page.
I still want the Soaring Eagle versus the Gobbledygooker.
If you don't know who the Soaring Eagle is, go check out WTRFs on the website.
So, yeah, there it is. Cesaro retains the title and just gets a lot of cheap heat as he leaves, being a non-American with the U.S. title, yada, yada, yada. Up next, Miz TV, the most watched.
The most must-see TV segment in WWE history?
According to The Miz.
According to The Miz, I guess.
And his guests this evening are a three-man train wreck. Better known as Three-Man Band. Starts out, not such a big deal, but all of a sudden they go after the Spanish announce table. Like, that's something new.
I know, right? No one's ever gone after the Spanish announce team or the table, ever.
I actually wasn't aware they kept Spanish announcers at the Spanish announcers table.
Yeah, like half the time it looks deserted every time we get shots of it, eh? But of course, it's half the time the...
Well, it's not deserted for long. There's usually someone in it eventually.
Yeah. In it, not on it. But out for the save comes Ricardo.
Woohoo!
Everybody's all
in
happy.
In all randomness.
Totally, totally random. And he's talking to him. He's trying to be all diplomatic and everything. Three-man band just attacked Ricardo, and they're just basically bullying him until, believe it or not, out comes Alberto Del Rio to make the save.
A surprising face turn from one Alberto Del Rio.
He actually likes his ring announcer.
Aww.
Surprising to whom? I mean, besides...
everyone. Came out of freaking nowhere.
It came out of freaking nowhere for most people. For some people will have expected it. Like, I expected it, and I know Rock expected it, too. But
I expected it because the dirt sheets mentioned it.
Yeah.
I was hoping the dirt sheets were wrong.
Honestly, no, because it's the first change of character Del Rio's had since coming to the WWE.
Yeah.
Good Lord, he'll actually be doing something different now.
Are we sure?
I hope so.
You have this hope for him. I don't know. I don't know. I think we're going to get the same old Del Rio.
He just hopes Del Rio doesn't suck. That's what he hopes.
My issue with Del Rio has always been that there's no dynamic to him. He's the million peso man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's all he's ever been. And hey, look, here's a chance to do something different with him. You know, you're either going to turn him face, or you're going to make him go broke. One or the other. Those are the only two directions he can go in.
Why not do both at the same time? Kind of like trading places.
See, that's when they do like the MVP face turn where they're on a huge losing streak and then you actually start cheering for them to actually recover their former glory.
Uh-huh.
Which I just think it would be hysterical if he goes from, you know, Bentleys and Ferraris down to Fords, down to Buicks, down to Gremlins.
Down to Ricardo's Datsun.
Okay, I want to see that now.
Did we just see one of his big cars get repossessed right in the middle of a match?
Yeah, or you have a Rocky III moment where he goes back to his roots to get that the hungry look back, you know, regain the hunger.
No, I want to see his car repossessed in the middle of the match.
Okay, well, that's a little bit different. You're just being the mean bugger when you see that, but that's all good.
Maybe I'm just a big fan of the Repo Man, okay?
I was waiting for that. I was waiting for the Repo Man reference. Thank you, Omega. Thank you.
It was being set up. It was coming. I mean, relax. It'll get there.
And then you have Ricardo chasing after the Repo Man going, wait, 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 no, 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 wait, wait, wait.
In the chat room, MN, what is it, MN0733.
Tommy.
The Repo Games guys come to repossess the car, Omega. And he's got to answer 3 out of 5 trivia questions correctly, or he loses the match.
Oh, God.
I would agree with that, but they did that on TNA.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
You know, careful. Don't let Vince find out. He might think that WWE could look better.
They did it on TNA with Hernandez and what was the other Mexican?
Hernandez, another Mexican, you mean Chavo?
No. No, it wasn't Chavo, that's the thing. It wasn't Chavo, it was before Chavo.
Homicide?
No, it was after Homicide.
Oh, Christ. Who was after Homicide and before the other Mexican?
It was the other Mexican.
Please address all hate mail to rockin'wildtalkradio.com.
Is it wrong? I'm sitting here trying to think of it, and I'm like, I'm thinking of Camacho, and I'm like, no, wait, he's WWE, that's not it.
I thought of Hunico, so we're like, you know, thinking on the same wavelength. Like, Anarchia, like, you can't get it.
Anarchia, there you go. Thank God for our listeners.
That other Mexican, Anarchia, uh-huh, that guy.
The other Mexican. Oh,
well, you know, we have to make up for Mace, so...
So? Well,
some Mexican, I can't tell them apart.
Yeah, if there's any country more racist than the USA, it's Australia. Oh, fuck, it's true. The thing is, they're proud of it. They'll admit it. It's like, fuck off, we're full, you know? Excuse me.
My ancestors were thieves and murderers. I could just walk in.
Surprise! No, you can't. So, yeah, so this basically sets up a six-man tag match for later on tonight. It's going to be three-man Ben taking on Del Rio, teaming up with The Miz, and a mystery partner to be named later.
The crowd wants Zack Ryder.
The crowd wants Zack Ryder. We want...
somebody else.
I just say, you guys want Ricardo.
Yeah.
I want El Locale.
Yeah, oh, okay. Kind of voting for El Locale, too.
Okay, same thing, Omega.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. No, it is not.
El Locale is this international man of mystery. We have no idea who he is.
El Locale is a man of many locales. Mm-hmm. He is from everywhere. He is all of us.
Part Canadian, part Mexican.
All awesome. I was hoping for Super Crazy myself, but that's just me.
If you had Super Crazy, that means you have to bring back the lawnmowers.
God. Yeah. Riding in on a John Deere.
Yeah. No, Juan Deere. I get, you know, I wouldn't have said that, but it wasn't me who originated it. It came from the company themselves, so it's all good. So don't send me any hate emails.
It's all good in the hood, yo.
It's all good in the hood, yeah. Okay, up next, we got the Intercontinental title match. We've got your defending champion, Kofi Kingston, taking on the returning Wade Barrett. The guy they can't decide what kind of outfits he wants to wear.
Wait, the returning Wade Barrett?
Well, you know, he's returning.
He's been back.
I know he's been back, but he's returning.
Okay.
Just
ignore him and move on.
Just, like, keep going anyways. Overall, not a bad match. It pretty much ended the way I predicted, the way I expected. You know, Kofi comes out with the win on this. Wade Barrett, really, seriously, would it have made any sense at all to stick the IC title on him, Lindsay?
Well, they can do it next month just as easy.
Yeah, but don't you think he should be destined for bigger and better than the mid-card? Not taking anything away from Kofi or what the IC title used to be before, you know.
He should be, but at this stage, he's one of those guys that's in a holding pattern. They're not quite sure what they're going to do with him, as is evident. They can't make up their minds on his gear, on his music, on him in general. I mean, the only true decision they made for him is that, yeah, we want him to be a heel.
Mm-hmm.
So I think... I mean, I pretty much figured none of the titles were going to change hands. It's a throwaway pay-per-view. Nobody's really going to care. So they can do a title change at the Rumble just as easy, or they can do it on Raw or SmackDown just as easy as they did tonight. So I think he will eventually pick up the IC title, or he will pick up another title. But obviously it wasn't meant to happen tonight. I just want to see them more go with him for the bare-knuckle Street Fighter and have him be... I want to see him fight in jeans, damn it.
I was waiting for that.
Oh, yeah, but Omega disagrees with you. He's positive you just want him to wrestle naked.
Well, if I could get him to wrestle naked, I would be just as happy, but I will take jeans because it's the more likely of the options.
I'm just waiting for Omega to chime in on this one.
Well, I mean, the coat, just especially the coat now, it doesn't work. It really doesn't work with the red tights. It's like, if you're supposed to be this, like, street fighter who's going back to his roots, then he shouldn't be in a oversized business coat with a rose. He shouldn't be in wrestling gear. And I'm sorry, he shouldn't really be wrestling. He should be going out there and beating the crap out of people. Literally.
Well, they sure seem to be stressing the fact that he's a bare-knuckle brawler. You know, follow up on it, in other words.
Yeah, you're telling us he's this brawler, but you're not having him brawl.
Yeah.
Because it's gimmick infringement, because there's some... Oh, I can't say that now. But there's another person...
Spoiler's wrong.
Don't say... spoiler alert.
Just saying, there's someone in history who had the same type of gimmick.
Yeah, but he had...
Because that's never stopped them before. Yeah. That's always stopped them before.
Picking on the Spanish announce table, where have I ever seen that before? Oh, wait. Didn't I just see that last month in another company that shall remain nameless, and the other guys did it better? Just saying.
She has a point.
Yeah, she does. Let's give it to her. And while we give it to her, pardon the double entendre, let's go to Omega.
Omega first, that's all I say.
I hate it when she does that, because then you got absolutely nothing to say that that won't make you look even worse. Omega!
I had hopeful thoughts. I'm not...
Yes! Talk about the match, damn it.
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Quick!
I don't know, it's okay match. I mean, these two, it should be, but... You know, I'm kind of getting the same kind of frustrated feeling about Barrett. It's a guy that they really like, and they really want to make him a top heel coming up in the next year, but they don't know how to accomplish that. You know, they give him a character, and they do nothing with it. They give him a look or an attitude, and it goes nowhere or changes the next week. It's very strange. It's the one guy where they're just spitballing ideas.
Yep.
And they're just trying to see what sticks, and so far, nothing has. The guy is Teflon. Extremely useful, but you can't get anything to hold onto him.
Nothing.
He needs... I've been saying this for a while now, and I wish that they had done kind of with Sheamus, or with Barrett, what they're doing with Sheamus and Regal. And he has, like, a mentor. Like, kind of like it was Nexus, but you have, like, Regal take Barrett under his wing and say, I'll show you how to be a proper villain, or I'll show you how to do this right. Somebody that can really help get Barrett a direction and give him somewhere to go. Because right now he's just kind of sort of...
Isn't the problem with that, though, that currently they've got some kind of a casual alliance between Sheamus and Regal?
They do. That's what I was saying. If they hadn't done it with Sheamus, I would have liked to have seen them do that between Barrett and Regal.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have Regal mentor Barrett and... kind of help get him back to those roots, because Regal has a really nasty style.
Mm-hmm.
And he can be just downright vicious in the ring, and to see some of that translated onto Barrett, I think would help.
Well, yeah, you know, when Regal was in the ring, like you were saying, he really did have a real, you know, he came across as having a real, real mean streak.
Yeah, he, like, if you watch his match, I think, who was it we were watching? It was him versus, I think, Ambrose?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Dude, he beat the fuck out of Ambrose. Just absolutely took it to him in the ring. And
don't put things so mildly. Like, you know, be a little bit more blunt with your statements.
I will. But he did. He absolutely just beat on him, and it was great to see. And Regal, it was awesome to see Regal back in the ring like that. And I wish some of that would translate onto Barrett. And I think that's part of the problem with Barrett is he's not. Like I said before, he's not nasty enough. He's not dirty enough. He's not brawling like he should.
He needs a more aggressive in-ring style.
Yes. Right now, it's very...
He's very in-between.
Yeah.
And somewhat hesitant.
Right.
Almost like holding back. Tentative, that's the word.
There you go.
Yeah, he's unsure, he's tentative. He needs to just let it go and go for it. And just take those cheap shots and be mean and vicious in the ring and all those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Omega?
No, I'm inclined to agree. It's very well stated. It's just...
Yeah.
At this point, they've tried so much with him. I'm not sure what exactly it's finally gonna take to actually find out who he is.
The first thing they need to do is settle on his music.
Yeah.
And they need to settle on good music.
I get the feeling someone's just shuffling through their iPod every time he comes out.
It really seems like that.
They probably are. Yeah, Pierceman in the chat room is saying if you want to mentor him in dirty fighting, bring Flair in.
Yeah, you can use some of Flair's old techniques for him.
Yeah, as the dirtiest player in the game. I could see him delivering that cheap nut shot from behind like Flair used to be famous for. I think something like that would work for Barrett.
I think it would work, but I'd really rather see more of Regal in Barrett than Flair.
Yeah.
A mixture. The cheap shots with the hard fighting style.
Yeah.
Make him a really aggressive and dirty, and it's a character we don't see on TV right now. There hasn't been that type of nasty heel in a while.
Not for a while. They're all like cowardly heels now, and I'm just, you know, you're right. I'm getting sick of the
they're
slap ball.
Yeah,
I almost
want
to say it's make him like Triple H when he was a badass heel. Kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see it. He had the aggressive side to him. I can see it.
Yeah. Well, give him Triple H's aggressiveness. Regal's nastiness and Flair's dirty tactics. All three of them. Wrap them up and you might have something good that Barrett could pull off.
Crap, I want to see this now, which means I'm never going to get it.
Sorry, Lindsay. Anyway, on that note, why don't we take our first time out of the evening? Everybody listen to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Those of you tuned in, thank you very much. Those of you who have been playing along with our WTR Pick'ems, hang tight. We're going to get to it as soon as we're finished talking the pay-per-view. We'll be back right after this.
Hey, yo, no more Hollywood. Nah. This is Hollywood. Yeah. And it's crime time. Be scared? You probably should. I come from the streets. I was raised in the gutter. I run up on your mother for that bread and butter. Mess around with these crooks. Get your property took. Robbing is my job. I get paid off the books. Marvin with my squadron. Coming through stomping. Yeah. Brooklyn, Brooklyn. Who want problems? I could care less about a copper. They call me the copper stopper. But you want something proper. No need to pack
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix got off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal. Because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code WILDTALK or WTR. Get your buds starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
Tuesday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is X-Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Thursday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network gets a little bit more impactful with The Rag, bringing you the most in-depth coverage of TNA's Impact Wrestling, which includes all of our favorite stars, such as Chavo Guerrero, Zema Ion,
Brooke
Testmacher, Robbie E.
Wait, who wrote this? No. I'm changing this.
We'll talk all about my favorite stars of Impact Wrestling, including Christopher Daniels, James Storm, Samoa Joe, Joseph Parks, Austin Aries, and more. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, live 11 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Rack, named after some breath. That's awesome.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestling Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Once again, everybody, we are sponsored by Tweaked Audio. Hey, grab a pair, get tweaked. And I hope my kid's not listening for a couple of reasons. First off, Lindsay's swearing like a trucker. That would be one reason. But the other one is I don't want him to find out that he's getting a pair of Tweaked Audio earbuds to go with his iPod 7th generation for Christmas.
What is wrong with me swearing like the trucker?
It's not good for, you know, the little kids with sensitive ears.
The ones that tune in and listen who shouldn't be listening to shit like that.
But it's hot.
But, you know, here's the kicker, okay? Owen's 12 years old, and he's taken to swearing like Lindsay. I was going to say like a trucker, but, you know, he swears like Lindsay does now.
I was going to say, I thought he more swore like a sailor than a trucker, but whatever.
I've heard truckers swear. I've heard sailors swear. I have to say that truckers can be a little bit better at times.
It's the road rage. Okay, Rock, you've heard me in full-on pissed-off rant mode. Which do I swear more, like a trucker or a sailor?
Ooh.
Well, wait. Before you ask that question, Rock, have you ever heard a sailor swear?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard a trucker swear?
Yeah.
Is there really any difference?
Not fully. She can swear quite a bit, and this is tame, what you're hearing on the air. I'm just...
Oh, no, trust me, I know. I mean, if the people listening right now could read half of the stuff we talk about when we type in Skype when we're typing to each other, they'd be just shocked at not just how vulgar she can be, but how crude, too.
No, that's only
I mean,
half.
This is a dirty girl.
That's only half. You only see her half. She can get dirtier and she can swear more. Yeah.
It's just, it's amazing. I mean, if you guys get turned on by a real naughty girl, well, then you want to meet somebody like Lindsay.
I'm in the right place.
At the right time. Yeah. Anyway, let's not...
if she wanted to corrupt people, she's in a great state to do it.
There you go. Anyway.
I'm trying, but they won't let me. I mean, I can only stand outside the temples and yell profanity at them for so long before they call the cops. Okay?
Oh, yeah. You're not easily corruptible at all.
Actually, I have cleaned up quite a bit since moving here, believe it or not.
You've had no choice. You're in a freaking Mormon state.
Now, pretty much.
There's a cult if I ever heard one.
I had a dream I got kidnapped by the Mormons.
There you go. If any of you listening are Mormons, don't expect me to apologize.
You okay. Apologize?
I pick on all religions equally, dude. I really do. I do.
So,
if any of you are Mormons and you live in Utah, learn how to freaking drive.
Drive the Deerfoot here in Calgary during rush hour, Lindsay. We'll see if you still say that.
Just because you're eager to meet God doesn't mean we want to do it during the morning commute.
Yeah, exactly.
The morning commute. I went to the grocery store last night at work during my lunch break to go get something to eat, and there was an event at the ice rink that's like right by where I work. Dude, somebody pulled into my lane to make a left-hand turn as I'm coming at them, going 40 miles an hour. They pull into my lane, stop, so they can make a left-hand turn. I was like, what the hell is wrong with you?
Quit speeding, Lindsay. You know it's your fault for speeding, for driving like...
I wasn't speeding!
It's your fault for driving the speed limit. That's speeding in Utah.
For once in my life, I wasn't speeding. I come from a long line of the people of the lead foot. I wholeheartedly and happily admit it.
She just has a heavy foot, that's all.
And then you come to Calgary and drive on the dirt foot and realize that the posted speed limit of 110 is only a suggestion when you're in the right lane.
Well, that's on any interstate. The speed limit is only a suggestion.
So, there you go. Yeah. So yeah, tweaked audio. Grab a pair of earbuds from Amuse. The we got a couple of codes that they supplied us.
WTR or Wild Talk.
Yeah, if you use WTR or Wild Talk, you'll get 33% off your order at the checkout.
Yes.
And they even take PayPal, which is awesome.
So we got a new T-shirt debut tonight.
We did.
It's called Knees to Asses.
Tell us about this.
You know, it's kind of mocking somebody who's turning.
I thought it was Knees to Faces.
Knees to Faces, my bad. Knees to Faces.
Knees to Faces.
Knees to Faces, yeah, my bad. Knees to Faces.
Yeah, wasn't that tweeted by somebody, shut up and take my money immediately, Omega?
Yeah. Someone was really quick with that meme image.
That was impressive. Yeah, but anyway, continue on with describing this T-shirt and who is wearing it and all this other crap.
By the one, the only CM Punk taking a shot at the People's Champ, who he's going to be facing at the Royal Rumble. Totally mocked the shirt that Rock was wearing last year. It even had it, you know, the captain symbol and it said CM on it. So, you know.
Yeah.
He's right there. The feud has begun.
Available probably already at WWEshop.com.
It's better than that bright yellow shirt.
Oh my god. That shirt needs to be burned.
Our next matchup because I can,
yeah. Yeah, well, who's not a... And of course, yeah, he's behind him.
But then we have a six...
Holy
fuck.
Ladies and gentlemen, this was the match that we were talking about at the beginning of the show that made this pay-per-view.
This was match of the night. Easily.
Without
match
question.
Of the night.
Without
and
question.
The biggest shocker about all of this is with the people in the match, there's no way you would expect it to be the pay-per-view.
Well, with Daniel Bryan, yes. But not with Ryback and not with three rookies that just came up from developmental for their very first televised match.
Yeah, but holy, come on. An unbelievable TLC match.
I'm not taking anything away from them. It was an awesome match.
It was. I have not seen something this good at a WWE pay-per-view in a good 6 months, Rock.
I would agree with that. This was just... Ooh, they beat the crap out of each other, and every spot made sense.
Yep. And it was excellent storytelling, and it was perfect. And they made sure that the rookies, as Omega has christened them, justifiably, of course, they made sure that they did exactly what you would expect a faction to do. Basically, weed everybody out, corner one individual, kick the crap out of them, Lindsay.
Yeah, it was. This is exactly how this was supposed to go. This was not a wrestling match. This was a fight. And that's exactly what we got, was a fight. It had the right feel. It had just amazing moves. And they did stuff I haven't seen before, or I haven't seen in a long time. Like the spot with Brian where they gave him the body slam holding the chair to him.
Yep.
I have never seen that done before. And the springboard, using the table as the springboard. Not once. But twice, even though I thought to God Kane was going to break it the second time.
Yeah, when up there? Yeah.
It's like that thing's sagging under his weight, and it's like, oh God, don't fall. Don't fall. Don't fall.
You heard it crack when they rammed him into it, so it was like, oh Christ. They weren't even sure that was going to hold up.
And then that goddamn thing, the way it bowed when he was standing on top of it. With
oh,
a brace.
My God.
Yeah. It's like, don't fall. Oh, God, well, don't fall.
Okay, think about the movie The Lord of the Rings. Take any one of the three where you have Legolas with his bow and arrow, and he's pulling the bow, you know, pulls the arrow back. It was, you know, it was bowed. The table was bowed as much as his bow does in that movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was incredible. But, yeah, and the only bad thing about this match was, oh, my God, Tyler Black, oh, God, his head.
Yep.
I hope to God he's okay, because he smacked the back of his head on two tables coming down off that ladder.
Yeah, he did. That was bad. See, Omega was wanting ladder spots, and, you know, now you got one.
Yeah, well, I...
Curses you, Omega. Curses.
What?
It's your fault. You were asking for a ladder.
I was asking for a ladder spot. I did not ask for an ECW spot.
And when he I have never seen anybody so pale as him after that happened.
Yeah.
Oh, he was out on his feet.
Oh, yeah. No, he's just gone. I mean, his eyes were only open from reflex.
But other than that, this was match of the night. This made watching this pay-per-view worth it. And the sad thing is I think Brock and I were dreading this one the most, because we were talking about it after the show Thursday night. And it dawned on me, oh, crap, Kane is the most senior person in this match.
Yep.
Then Daniel Bryan, and then you have four rookies.
Yep.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you guys something collectively, and don't take your time answering or anything like that, but did this match do anything to help Ryback?
No.
Ryback doesn't need it, though. Like, it still took three guys to take him out every single time. So it's never any question of what he needed. You know, he still came off as a tank. You know, it took everything they had just to put him down long enough to have a match with Bryan and Kane.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing this did was it further proved that tables are Ryback's kryptonite. But yeah, Ryback at this point, he's fairly established for what they established guys now, so he didn't really need too much building. The Shield needed all the attention in this match,
and they got it.
And I was 100%. Worried. I was worried when they did the comeback spot with Ryback. Oh no, they're going to disregard all the good they did and have Ryback win, because there was no way he should win that match. No way. And I'm so glad he didn't.
And I do believe we all pretty much called the finish...
In some fashion. We all had it, yeah.
As close to what really happened as possible. I said, you know, nobody else actually said it, but they agreed with it. That except for you. I know you were talking about it earlier in the week, Rock. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I do. I do multiple shows, so, you know, I can get the opinion. We get the opinion.
You know, I catch hell when I do shit like that with my son. You know, it's like you're trying to one-up him all the time. Shut up.
Can't make you look good, Tim.
There you go.
It's too much work.
Yeah, it's too easy.
No, it's too much work.
You know, fuck up. We said that Ryback was going to be in the back. Well, he was close enough to the back.
He was taken away.
Was going to be Daniel Bryan. And it was Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
Now, which member of the Shield did this match help the most?
All three. You weren't looking to establish them as solo acts. You were establishing them as a group. And that's something they never do in WWE.
Yeah.
They established three men who worked together really well. And they made them tonight.
So, as a result, how soon do you figure before they break them up?
I have a feeling that losing tomorrow in some sort of match, the way WWE booking is, it's like, oh, Christ, they're going to do, you know, this.
They're all
going
to lose to Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, I'm kind of hoping that they keep them a group for a while, and they don't do that. They've done, for whatever reason, they have that same feel that the AJ Punk Bryan feud had in the beginning, where it doesn't feel like creative are the ones that are actually booking this. This is being done by someone else, somebody who understands how to book wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
as opposed to the creative team. So I have a feeling this is something, this is probably either a punk project, or this is a Hunter project, or this is somebody other than creative, other than Vince. And once it gets over, and once Vince realizes, oh hey, it's gonna make me money, Vince is gonna put his hands on it, and that's when it's gonna get screwed up.
Yeah. Well, you did name one name that makes the most sense to me, Hunter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know there's one guy in the group that is there because Hunter favors him.
Yeah, that's Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
By the way, am I the only person that dresses Dean Ambrose up as the Ledger Joker? Like, you can see him with the face paint and everything. Am I the only person that does that?
With his facial reactions, I can see that completely.
Yeah, you know, I can see that working. You just got to train him to talk the way Heath Ledger did.
Well, he's got the mannerisms for it, too.
He does. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That would be a good Halloween costume for him next year.
Yeah,
he comes on Raw tomorrow night, showing off the injury from the table, going, "You want to know how I got these scars?"
Yes.
And then looking at right back when he comes out, just saying, "Why so serious?"
Oh, dude, that'd be awesome.
This match, off the hook, dangerous at times, but we had the superplex spot off the table. We had Ryback going through the table. Kane went through the barricade, and they dumped up a whole bunch of stuff on him. We had the Rollins spot where he basically did a Jeff Hardy and fell through tables.
Yeah. Now, with this match here, up to this point in the pay-per-view, this match made your $40 worth it.
Without question, this was the match that they were billing as one of the top matches, and this one really delivered.
I would have to say this was one, you know, this, you guys disagree with me if you want, but I would have to say this was one of the top 15 of 2012, this match. If not the top 10.
I'm not sure I'd go that far. I will say it is the most surprisingly good match of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And the match, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Just saying the matches were in that category. You go. Some people will go Hell in a Cell. Some people will go Brock and Cena at Extreme Rules as one of the top matches. And all those matches had a different, unique feel to them. And this one had a different, unique feel to it, that it will stand out among the others.
Well, this will definitely be on the Matches of 2012 Features DVD.
Well, that's right, coming out. But anyway...
It's definitely going to be featured. It's definitely going to be talked about. And if nothing else, it's a nice way to close out 2012. Like, they could have stopped the pay-per-view here, and it would have been fine.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I would have been happy. That would have been just, hey, man, great. You know, and here I am thinking there's no way that they could have seriously considered this as an event. But holy shit, it could have closed the show.
And I feel bad for the bastards that had to follow it.
Yep.
Wow.
Versus Sheamus, Cena, Ziggler, and three-man band versus Del Rio Miz and their partner.
Well, it's somebody said it best before we get there, where it was like, you're sitting there watching Sheamus' show, and even Cena, Ziggler to an extent, but Sheamus' show, it's like, after that TLC, watching a chairs match just seems a little anticlimactic. It's just mm-hmm. like, who gives a fuck, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of anticlimactic, let's go to our next match.
Do we have to?
Oh, yeah, we kind of do. Eve taking on Naomi for the Divas title. Eve being this champion. And I'm like, Naomi, really? And then the match starts, and holy shit, she showed me some shit in the ring that I wasn't expecting. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
For the match.
She's green, but you could tell she has some honest to God athleticism to her.
She's got talent, this girl. And not just as a dancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, solid gold wrestler. That's what this girl is. So yeah, you know, again, Divas match, and you know how we collectively love the Divas division and just rave about it on all of our programming here. But yeah, okay. It was Eve. But whatever. For what it was, it wasn't a bad match, Lindsay.
All I have to say is Melina and Madison Rain called. They want their gimmicks back. I mean, as far as Naomi goes, I still find it ironic that the chick who was the first one eliminated on Tough Enough and said that the Alicia Fox Melina match was her favorite match competed tonight.
Was that her? Really?
That was her.
That's her. Oh,
that's her.
I forgot that was her.
I thought it was the other one.
No, she's the one. She's the one that was on Tough Enough. And I'm sitting here finding this incredibly ironic that she's competing. And she definitely has talent. I think she tried to overdo it a little bit. And because of that, she kind of, at least to me, came off a little sloppy. But she's also really green. I think if they continue to work with her, definitely she's got some talent. But I'm sitting there watching and I'm like, ooh.
Yeah,
like
you know
when she did that flip over the turnbuckle.
Oh,
yeah.
It didn't look like she connected with anything. She just kind of rolled in front of Eve.
Yeah, by the way, Cameron was the one on Tough Enough, not Naomi.
Oh, it was Cameron.
Oh, thank God.
It wasn't the one.
On Tough Enough.
No, it was the other one. The other one who was standing.
The other one?
Yeah.
It was the other one.
The other Mexican.
Is that bad?
Yeah, guys, with everything that Lindsay said about Naomi, wouldn't it have been better to see her in the ring with, like, Tamina before anybody else, like Eve, who, you know, doesn't really deserve to be where she is? Trying to be politic and polite and not say nasty shit about how she got to where she got.
Well, Eve is one of their better divas, sad to say. At least Eve can somewhat go. I think putting her in the ring with Tamina, yeah, it would do her some good. Putting her in the ring with Natty, somebody that knows how to wrestle.
Putting her in the ring with Natty would do damn wonders.
But I think you need to do that outside of TV. You need to have her working with those girls off camera as opposed to on camera. Where you have her working with somebody and they help
house shows and then put them on Raw.
Right. Okay. I mean, I was a little, I guess, stunned that they had her win the Battle Royal out of the blue. And I know a lot of people were happy about it, and I'm not trying to discount it at all. It's just I'm kind of sitting there going, well, doesn't Eve have a standing feud with Caitlyn? Why would you have Naomi win?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it didn't make a lot of sense to me that it's like, okay, well, you know, whatever, she's going to get a title shot, she's going to lose, but okay, whatever. It's the Divas anyway.
Because it was it's just a Divas match. They decided to put on the show last minute. That's pretty much what it was.
Yeah. Just, you know, as long as it's just a last minute thing, let's just make it a surprise.
But, all right, I'm going to show something really quick. If you want to know how the Divas division should improve, check out this past Thursday's edition of The Rack where me and Lindsay, well, we go in depth about it. Check it out. It's in the archives.
So there.
So there.
So there.
So there. Take a listen. It's kind of
awesome. Yeah. Don't you wish you were able to talk, Rob?
Fully? Yeah. Trust me.
Absolutely. So, yeah, Eve takes over, retains her Divas title, and will leave 2012 as the Divas champion. But we only have to worry about that for another 5 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was just looking at the weather forecast, and Friday's due for meteor storms, so.
Yeah. Of course, the end of the world will happen Thursday in Australia, and we'll have a live reporter on scene as the world comes to an end.
Wait, he still works for us?
We definitely have two Australians on the network, so.
This is true.
Oh, well, keep in mind, he's not going to need his job after his Thursday.
Well, technically it's just one. You know, they're all one and the same.
They're not one and the same.
Yes,
Scott Barry is insane.
Well, we know this, but no, they're one and the same. But moving on, I should say. Our next matchup is the World Heavyweight Title match. Big Show and Sheamus Omega. In a chairs match.
I hate the very concept of this match. The match is solely there just to give the name TLC as a pay-per-view a little bit more credit. It doesn't work. That's the only reason the match exists.
Right. Yeah, there's like, it would be okay, the goal is to knock your opponent out with the chair. That would make sense.
Yeah, there's no goal
right.
in a chair match. Yeah, I need a goal. Like, okay, let's do this thing. Okay, can you, we put this chair here in the corner. If you can stay on there for 10 seconds, like your little personal throne, then you win.
Right.
Doesn't have
a
to be like
a pole match?
Not a chair and a
No. You use
not
the chair
a chair
as...
and a pole, but like chair sat in the corner, like set up to sit down in. And then it's like a last man standing match, except you can eliminate your opponent without them actually being down for 10 seconds.
No, here, I have a better twist. You have to use that same chair on your opponent to knock him out and then be able to sit on that chair.
Okay, now you're going TNA level of complexity here.
Hey, it's a nice twist. But yeah, this match. Thoughts?
Big chair?
Big chair.
Yeah, I was going to say the high point is the big chair.
By the way,
I love that he apparently has this shop that makes him custom WWE style weaponry.
Where do we find this shop?
Not WWEshop.com, that's for sure.
I didn't know there was a Home Depot for big and tall.
Apparently there is. Apparently there is. The one thing I'm tired of seeing, it's because it's like 4 or 5 times this month, the white noise on Big Show, it's not impressive anymore.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that. The whole feud isn't impressive anymore. It's just...
I hope this was the end.
I don't think it is, but...
How can it not be the end? Big Show's now beaten Sheamus twice. I would think it's time to move him on. I don't know, that's just me. What do you think, Omega?
It's probably at that point where it should move on, but then again, I've seen feuds like John Cena and Edge, where they just didn't know how to give it up because they didn't know who else to move on to. And you look at SmackDown and realize that if Dolph Ziggler doesn't cash in really, really goddamn soon, we're not going to have anyone else in the title picture.
But there's a guy who hears voices in his head. They talk to him.
Yeah, except he's got a separated shoulder.
Yeah, and they tell him what his medical bills are that month.
Good point. So, yes, Big Show with his big chair keeps the World Heavyweight Championship. And then we move on.
Wait. Wasn't somebody supposed to cash in after this match? I thought it was assured by Mr. Stein.
Oh, right. That one didn't happen.
See, I made that comment that, you know, the logical way of booking this would be to have Ziggler cash in, and that way you have that way your main event is for the world title. And that would actually be interesting. So, of course, they didn't do that.
Nope. No, they didn't do that. Because they're going to save it for the end.
It's the end of the world in a week.
There's still Raw tomorrow.
There is no end.
There's Raw tomorrow. You never know. Anyway, moving on. It's now time for, before we get to move on to the match, we had Mini Cena walk up to Big Cena, and, well, she's becoming crazy again.
who's the one
I will say,
voices in their head.
I will say Minnie Cena's got a cute pair of tits on her.
I'll agree with that.
True. Up next, six-man tag team action. Alberto Del Rio, The Miz, and a partner take on the three-man band. And who was their partner, Omega?
The Brawler.
That's right, folks. The Brooklyn Brawler is back.
Hoo-hoo!
I will say it again. I love how the WWE backstage locker is the Nexus portal that can summon anyone from the past at any time.
Although I was kind of irritated with a lot of people saying JTG would have been better.
No.
What?
No.
What? Hold it. Back up.
Who the hell would say that?
Pretty much everybody on Twitter was saying that JTG should have been in the match as opposed to the Brawler.
How old are these kids? 12?
I don't know. I didn't even realize JTG still had a job with them, honestly.
Oh, yeah. He was in a dark match and lost to somebody.
No, I thought, didn't he win on the dark match?
Oh, did he win? I don't know. He was on a dark match. Who cared? Nobody saw it. I mean, it was a dark match, right? So even the lights weren't on. People in the arena didn't see it. All they heard was a bunch of thumping and bumping. So it was a dark match. Wait a minute. Didn't he wrestle David Otunga?
Oy vey.
Here comes the racist joke.
On May 9th, in an episode of NXT, JTG debuted with a new look and defeated Yoshitatsu, the first and only win of 2012. So maybe this was the Brooklyn Brawler.
Oh, wow. So, Brawler wins.
Great, moving on.
Brawler wins. And we finally, after all these years, found out he actually has a finisher. It's the Brooklyn Crab.
The Brooklyn Crab. Not the Boston Crab.
No,
but the
no.
Crab.
It's the Brooklyn Crab.
But the Brooklyn Crab was something you caught after visiting Doris on the corner. But
I will say...
Yeah, you just totally walk over that joke just like we walked over the one that you told that you won't repeat on the air, Omega, that you typed out.
I typed it out because I knew it was a bad joke. It was intentionally a bad joke. I wanted the groan. I got the groan. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, you got the groan
off the air.
You got the groan from me because I typed that out. But it just it amazed me. Spug actually said that I tell jokes better than you.
There's different types of jokes. That one is known as a groaner.
Oh, that was no. That
was
not a groaner.
It's supposed to be bad. It's supposed
it wasn't
to be
good
bad.
That wasn't good enough to be a groaner. The funny part was Spug's reaction, though. That was good. That was chuckle-worthy.
The weird thing I like about this is, of all people to actually kind of anchor Alberto Del Rio's face turn to, it was The Miz.
Yeah.
Just turned face himself.
Really?
Yeah. Really.
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 I just want to know, can we just kill the three-man band already? Seriously?
Oh, my God.
No, you can't because they're going to be performing live tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw during the Slammies.
My God. And, yeah.
Rather what? See three count.
Not taking
and...
it.
There's no reason to not watch.
With Tank Abbott
there.
Dancing.
Yeah, not to take a cheap shot at my friend Jinder Mahal, who actually is from Calgary, and wrestled with the name Tiger Raj Singh. He's actually the nephew of the great Gama, famous of Stampede Wrestling, which, by the way, here in Calgary, January the 18th, also on Internet Pay-Per-View, Stampede Legacy Wrestling. Stampede Wrestling returns to the Pavilion, which was the home to many, many decades of Stu Hart's original Stampede Wrestling. In town are such notable people as Kevin Nash.
Thank you, Alan.
Yes. I'm just throwing that plug in there in case I get a chance to go and not pay for it. Then I paid for it by giving them the plug.
Basically, you just pulled it on Wojcik.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
Basically and, what you just did.
Yeah, pretty much. not to not
wait,
to
wait,
take
wait,
it
from we
my
need
friend.
The movie reference. And then it's complete.
Oh, well, the show's not over yet. Just hang on.
No, he made the Lords of the Ring reference earlier.
Oh, yeah, I did.
I did.
Now I'm going to bed, bitches.
Well, it is past your bedtime.
Fuck off. I'm up later than you are, you dumbass.
There's a time difference because of that. Anyway, we lost the Omega.
Did we lose
the
Omega?
We lost the Omega.
Well, let's wait to get him back, but not to take anything away from Jinder Mahal. But, yeah, I did make the smart-ass comment that, you know, Jinder Mahal makes a pay-per-view and we see nothing of Tyson Kidd.
They're biased against, you know, white Canadians.
Well, no. Start from the beginning. What did you say?
I said they're biased against Canadians.
And I corrected you, and I said Jinder Mahal is Canadian. He's from Calgary, for Christ's sakes. Then what did you say?
They're biased against white Canadians.
Wait. Was he born in Calgary?
Yes, he's a native-born Calgarian. He only got the job in WWE because he speaks Punjabi, for crying out loud.
Sorry.
He's Canada's version of a Mexican-American.
Wow.
That's a stretch.
There's an Indian-Canadian? Canadian-Indian?
Yeah. Yeah, but careful. He's not a casino Indian. He's a tech support Indian.
That's a groaner.
That's a giggle groaner. Come on.
No, I was giggling at Omega's groan.
Giggle groan. Yeah, he groaned and you giggled, so it was a giggle groaner.
No, I giggled at his groan because he came back right at the perfect time.
At the perfect time, I know, and it was a giggle groaner. He groaned and you giggled. Not a groiner. What the hell, Sting?
Anyway.
Spell it with an A, not an I.
Yeah, you spell it with an A-E-H.
Anyway, my point is they're trying everything to get the three-man band over, and it's just, it's not getting over.
Wait a minute, Lindsay. Rock, fuck off. Okay, Lindsay.
You know, I will dispute that comment. I don't think they're doing a whole lot at all to get the three-man band over, because I barely see the fuckers.
They accepted that one challenge by that dude named John Cena on that Saturday morning show.
There's a show on Saturday mornings?
It's called Saturday Morning Slam.
Really?
Yeah.
If you watch SmackDown, they've been doing a lot.
Who watches SmackDown?
Nobody watches SmackDown. A lot.
I try.
No, it's just the most cobbled together faction I've ever witnessed. I mean, look who their leader is.
The guy who was
getting
beat up by every single legend, including Lita, for about four months.
Yeah, including Lita.
Let's face it, everyone goes down when Lita's around.
Boom-ching. No, I mean, if any one person needs a manager and just screams for it, it's these guys. Because, sadly, none of them, from what I've seen, can talk.
You know who they need?
Who?
They need the Honky Tonk Man.
Get out of my head, yes. Omega. Get out of my head.
I mean...
But it's such wide open spaces, Rock.
Oh, yeah!
Asshole.
Do the antelope...
Welcome to the Sheldon Cooper Howard Wolowitz show.
Go ahead, Lindsay. Sorry.
I was just asking, is that where the antelope roam?
The deer and the antelope play there.
I just lost my train of thought, but basically, if anybody screams for manager, these guys
do. Where the buffalo roam, and I'll show you a house full of cow shit.
And Omega now has a new intro for the show.
There you go. Clip.
He's now not going to talk.
Nobody has a clue what we're talking about anymore, and I'm not talking about the listeners. I'm talking about the four of us actually trying to do a show because we've all lost our train of thought thinking about how empty Ted is.
But the question is whose head is more empty, Rock's or yours, Tim's?
Oh, mine's not empty. I don't know why you would try to insult me. I mean, don't turn it around. It just doesn't work that way. Give Omega full credit for a perfectly valid and absolutely deadly accurate shot on Rock.
All right.
Don't include me. Don't try to bastardize it by including me.
Kane Cannons goes, Tim sold his space for homebrew supplies.
Ooh. No, I didn't. I took back my cans of Coke that I finished drinking and got the deposit refund and picked up the turbo yeast for $8.
Moving on to our main event.
Like, what the hell? Okay, train wreck time. Welcome.
Come on, Tim, this is your show. Get us back on track.
Welcome to the train wreck portion of the show, sponsored by
PWMania.com.
I was going to say Omega's One-Liners, but sure.
I was actually giving one of our sponsors credit.
There you go. All right, main event time. Cena versus Ziggler. Quick, change the channel. Wait a minute, what the hell? Didn't we see Cena in the back earlier tonight during the pay-per-view talking with Cena, and they're all like, you know, they're both like dressed similarly, and we've got AJ Cena.
We mentioned this, and Lindsay said Mini Cena has a nice set of tits. So, you know, keep
going. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, stay with us, Tim.
Yes, exactly. I'm just iterating because people weren't listening.
No.
The meds are kicking in. Just move on.
No, the meds aren't kicking in. My mom called. Fuck off. I got a phone call. It was my mom.
This was a really good match.
Surprisingly enough, yes. And I say surprisingly enough because, of course, naturally it was involving John Cena. But not that surprisingly because Ziggler was in. Holy Christ, is Ziggler over with the Brooklyn crowd?
Oh, my God.
Usually it's let's go Cena. Cena sucks. Not tonight.
Well, we did get that tonight, but that was drowned out.
No, but it changed to let's go Ziggler. Cena sucks. Oh.
It started like hardcore with Let's Go Ziggler, and you could tell the announce team had nothing because they just stopped dead silent.
And it was like they were absolutely stunned. It was like, holy shit, we didn't expect this.
Yeah, they can no longer deny the fact that Ziggler is over. And I hope to God they push him to the moon now after tonight.
After tonight, if that wasn't their plans, it better bloody well be their plans starting tomorrow. That's for damn sure.
He cannot go on TV, sans tribute to the troops, and lose a match.
Of course, you know, it is New York they're in and not, you know, Massachusetts. So, of course, everybody in New York hates John Cena.
Right.
Just on principle.
Right. I expect him to get the same type of reaction tomorrow night here in Philly.
Yeah.
Ziggler should be over with the crowd.
Big time.
But
yeah, no, I was impressed by this match. Ziggler actually made Cena look a lot better than Cena deserved to look, especially with a few very glaring moves.
Mr. John Cena is showing off his agility?
Or lack thereof.
Lack thereof tonight. Tries a monkey flip in the corner and almost blows that. And then
the head scissor
Hurricane Rana into the
it was a tenth of a head scissor takeover, but he didn't quite get the over part of it down.
No, and Ziggler, smart guy that he is in that ring, realized it was a fucking botch. He made it work.
Yeah, fucking frog hopped him just to get over into the table.
Yep, literally.
Barely made it.
Ziggler throws himself into the table, and he's like halfway across the room in order to do so.
Yeah.
Okay, not quite, but you get the idea. I'm exaggerating a little bit.
He did the oversell.
Yep.
And it worked.
And it worked. And, of course, when they switched angles, it didn't look quite so bad. And, of course, with the slow-mo, and I mentioned it, and it didn't look as bad in slow motion as it did in real time. Never mind that it was a different camera angle.
Right. There was one spot where Ziggler was pressed up on the ladder that Cena was pressing him up on the ladder. I was like, oh no, they're gonna toss him out of the ring. Thank God they didn't. Thank God they didn't, because that would have been a rough spot for Ziggler to take.
Yeah. And right near the end of the match, I'm watching, and Ziggler's, you know, he goes, falls outside of the ring. And if he wasn't, if he didn't turn his head and see the upside down table in time, he probably might have just impaled himself in the back on the table leg sticking out. It was that close. I mean, he swerved real quick, real hard. I don't know if you caught that or not.
No, I didn't catch that part, but I did notice like the broken piece of the table. I was saying in our chat, the ref should actually get them out of the ring, maybe?
Yeah. And as soon as you typed that, my only thought was, yeah, we don't want to see Cena really bugger Ziggler up any more than he already has.
Because someone could take a fall off that ladder and go right into
Ooch.
It. Yeah, that would have been good. Yeah. But no, Ziggler did the work and got it out himself. They gave him a spot to do that.
I'm sorry. It's still ridiculous. I caught the referee with a surgical latex glove actually attempting to wipe blood off of Ziggler's leg in the middle of Ziggler setting himself up for a move against Cena. Seriously, what the hell? And it was just like on the corner of the camera, and as soon as you realized what it was, the camera, like they took that camera view away. It was like, oh shit, we shouldn't show that, and they switched camera angles.
I think they're more or less checking on the cut.
You know, and all that wasn't anything. You want to see a cut? Look at R-Truth's tweet.
Oh, I know. But in this, you know, in the moment, you don't know.
Yeah, okay, well, what happened earlier on in the match, when he went through a table or something like that, Ziggler wound up with an abrasion on his outer left thigh that was about, I would say, close to 14 inches long. But it was just a surface scratch.
Right. But you never know. You never know.
Yeah. It was bleeding fairly profusely if you got it, but they were able to cover it up well enough, the fact that he had a bunch of red stuff seeping out of his leg. And, you know, he kept wiping his leg, too. So
right.
He was wiping the blood off onto his hand.
Yeah, they're prepared now. If you didn't listen to Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Nigel McGuinness this past Tuesday, check it out. He has a lot of thoughts on blood in wrestling. You want to hear his take, please go check it out. He has some really good thoughts on it.
Yeah, and Sting 79, no, it wasn't Cena, it was Ziggler that they did this to. And it wasn't a trainer, it was a referee. I'm just fixing that up.
You're clarifying, I got you.
Yeah, clarifying, that's the word.
Yeah, that's the word. We had a Vicky Guerrero run in, an AJ run in.
Oh.
We had AJ doing You Can't See Me, the five-knuckle shuffle.
You date a member of the roster and you get fired. You come in with a chair attempting to take someone's head off, and that's not a punishable offense.
No, you're employee of the month.
You remain chairperson of WWE Raw.
Magic
or whatever title is.
Managing supervisor or some shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's perfectly fine. Okay, we were all kind of sort of half making fun of this immediately after seeing that backstage promo with the two of them dressed alike. Let's talk about what happened.
Well, tell us, Tim.
AJ skipping around the ring, around the ladder as John Cena's climbing up after she gets rid of Vicky. John Cena near the top of the ladder, just about to reach for the briefcase. And sure enough, she did it. And we're all like, wouldn't it be great if AJ actually screwed Cena? Oh, come on, she wouldn't do that. That would make sense. Blah, blah, blah. There you go. AJ pushed the ladder over and knocked Cena off the ladder. He goes in, bounces off the rope just in time for Ziggler to come in with the super kick. Boom! Knocks him up, gets up on that ladder, and retains the Money in the Bank briefcase.
Yeah, I have a point about the super kick, but we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
You know, when I mentioned that it wouldn't make sense to turn AJ heel right now, I didn't take into account the whole point of her character is to do things that don't make sense.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But when we were talking about this before it even happened, Omega, you said a couple of things, and I said, you know what? It actually would make it would make it understandable how Vicky may have gotten a hold of all of these phone messages that AJ purportedly left. You know, it turns out she's talking to Dolph. Dolph supplies the taped phone call to Vicky, and they set the two of them up. You know, they set John Cena up, and she's all in on it.
I think we're a little bit, you know, that's all logical and stuff. I don't think that's the direction we're going with. I think AJ's just going back to being the crazy being chick.
Crazy bitch, yeah.
They're basically doing with her what they did as far as Punk and Brian and Kane were all concerned.
Yeah.
Where she's not getting enough attention in her mind, so she's going to do something that will get their attention.
Or, as one of you guys so eloquently put it in chat, she's blaming John Cena for being fired as WWE, as the Raw General Manager.
That's me.
You. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what she comes out and says tomorrow before she goes nuts.
Oh, I can clearly see that. It probably is the direction they're going with that.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think it would be more also the fact that he hasn't taken nearly as much crap about this as she has. I mean, she lost her job. She's been Vicky's bitch for the last however many weeks.
Month.
And John Cena has just been able to go off and do whatever he wants, and AJ's been the one that's really been suffering for it, and he really, you know, short of some embarrassment, he hasn't really had anything happen to him.
Yep, and AJ snapping and blaming John Cena, that's the path of least resistance, if you will. So it would, you know, probably make more sense to creative to have it do that.
Right.
Just saying. But yeah, well, there it is.
All right, before we move on, Tim, I want to bring up a point about what happened during the match. Lindsay will know the direction I'm going in. Big Show did an interview with, Rosenberg's his last name. It's Wrestling with Rosenberg. It's on YouTube. He's a New York radio personality. The point being is he went on the air this past week and said that a lot of the people in the back think that for Dolph Ziggler to break out, he needs a move like Shawn Michaels' superkick. And a lot of people are encouraging him to use that kick, and tonight we clearly saw that twice in the match. Once he missed, and once he hit it.
Yep.
Is that giving him a move like the kick, the Shawn Michaels kick, and he clearly said Shawn's kick in the interview multiple times, the way to get him over as a big star compared to using, you know, the sleeper or the zigzag? Is the super kick, since not a lot of people use it, the right move for Ziggler?
Oh, fuck, that's a roundtable question, Rock. Is that the right move for him?
Mm-hmm. Is that the right move for him?
Well, you know, with his character being the showing off, being the show off, I would like to see him incorporate a few more of Kurt Hennig's moves rather than Shawn Michaels.
We've got this guy named McGillicuddy.
Yeah.
He's pretty good and
kind of
holds the trademark on those.
Yeah. But he's McGillicuddy, not
give it time.
Wait until the fifth incarnation. That'll happen then.
Exactly.
Give him a signature move, and why not have it be the super kick?
And his point being was, if the wrestlers establish it, because the move itself is already established as a move thanks to Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
And if the other wrestlers establish it as his move, I agree with the Big Show that he's going to be over big time.
Mm-hmm.
He can break out from that. What do you think, Lindsay?
I'd have to agree. I mean, the Famouser is nice, but the super kick, because he has Shawn Michaels' cockiness, he has that ego, he can carry it and he can pull it off very, very, very well.
Right. And the Famouser is more of a transition move at this point. It's not one of those finishing moves.
You can't call the Famouser a finishing move today.
No.
Yeah.
Kick. The brogue kick is just a variation of the super kick, and that is one of
Sheamus' variation of the Yakuza kick. But yeah.
They both are. But
if you stick your leg out and hit somebody with it, I think you can call it a variation of a kick.
Yeah. That's a variation of kick, especially if the bottom of the foot connects with the jaw and knocks the guy the fuck out. It's my point.
Welcome to Kicking 101 right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There you go. So yeah, why not let it be the super kick? I mean, you got Randy Orton doing the Stone Cold Stunner, right?
No. The Nace Crusher.
It's a Diamond Cutter.
Diamond Cutter.
Yeah, it's a Diamond Cutter. But I think that would help Ziggler even more. Not that he really needs help other than they need to give him a damn title. I think he could do that. I think he could pull the super kick off very well. Because Big Show said, that kick, that he described it as Shawn's kick.
Right.
And he was talking about other moves, and he would say it's like somebody doing a tombstone. That's Taker's. Like, if you notice, Kane doesn't do a tombstone anymore unless he's with Taker.
Mm-hmm.
So they're associating the moves with these legendary wrestlers.
Yep.
And if you can tie Ziggler to one of those names, not necessarily make him exactly like Shawn Michaels, but in your mind, you think of Shawn Michaels, or in Tim's case, he thinks of Mr. Perfect. If you can kind of make that association in people's minds, that will help them that much more.
Right, and giving him the kick will allow him to get wins. The moves he does now, okay, he gets wins, but people have kicked out of his moves. You don't let anyone kick out of the kick. And that's what will get him going.
But does he already draw too many comparisons to Shawn Michaels as it is to actually lift one of his moves on top of it?
I haven't heard a lot of comparisons between Ziggler and Michaels.
No, not really.
There were a few, but...
I remember more talk about the arrogance and the cockiness that Mr. Perfect had than Shawn Michaels. That's why that's the first thing I think of.
I was looking at the overselling tonight, but okay.
Well, overselling was definitely Shawn Michaels.
But it's a good thing for him. He needs to establish something where people don't kick out from it. That's what they did with the bro kick, and when Big Show kicked out, how big of a spot was that?
That was a big deal.
Yeah. Because no one kicked out of that move at all. And they spent months establishing that move. So if you establish a move, say it's a super kick or something else, that's the way to get him over. Even more than he is right now. And that will make him a main event player from here on out.
Yeah.
But, him losing match after match won't. And hopefully tonight was the start of it. Because now if you think about it, a year ago, he lost the U.S. title in the opening match to Zack Ryder. And this year, he won the main event of TLC.
Mm-hmm.
Big step up for one Mr. Ziggles.
Yeah, I'm disappointed that, this is the first time I ever, this year, since he won the briefcase, this is the first time I said, okay, this is my prediction was he was going to cash in tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that would have made this a better, I think, pay-per-view than it was for what it was to have a complete switch for the main event and have Ziggler actually come out and cash in before the main event. I was actually figuring that they would have his match against Cena, not as the main event, but the semi-main event, and then he comes out and wins the world title. But it would have been just absolutely great, great booking, in my opinion, if after the World Heavyweight Championship was over, out comes Ziggler, cashes in, and takes the title off of Big Show. All of a sudden, the main event is for the World Heavyweight Championship. And how much bigger a deal would that be? Dolph Ziggler not only cashes in and wins, but defends successfully.
I would have to disagree on that, just because I think last month, when Sheamus beat Show with the chair and beat him literally to his knees, I think that was the better moment for Ziggler to cash in, because Show beat Sheamus clean and he got right back up again. That wouldn't have been the best move for Ziggler.
If
Sheamus had picked up the victory over Show, I think it would have been a little bit more believable for Ziggler to cash in and beat Sheamus for that title.
But you're only thinking three-dimensionally here. Like, if you were going to book it the way I suggested, then you would have booked it for Show to have taken a bigger beating and be more out of it if he was going to retain it. or you would have changed the changed the finish of the match and let Sheamus win it, and then lose it in 5 seconds, which would have been a bit of an ironic twist, considering he wins back the belt and loses it in 12 seconds.
Right.
Right. So yeah, I mean, like when you're doing the booking like that, you can't look at just the one thing. You got to look at the whole picture and make it, because you're not going to say, okay, well, boom, there you go, and then all of a sudden, boy, did you make everybody look super weak by having Ziggler come out and win the title, and the guy's not as beat up as he was at the last pay-per-view. So with that, I think we can agree, couldn't we?
Yeah.
So, but, other than that, I'm telling you, the six-man tag match made this pay-per-view for me. The rest of it was enjoyable enough. But that six-man tag put the, I'm giving this pay-per-view a grading of B. It was going to be a C-plus until that happened.
I would agree. It'd be a solid B for this match, for this event. The two matches that were supposed to deliver, delivered, even though I was kind of worried about the tables, ladders, and chair match, but just because of Ryback and his ability to, whack people with things and things could go crazy. But they kept him limited, which was good. They gave him his spots. But beyond that, he was, you left the good workers do their thing, and that's what really helped that match.
Yep. I can't disagree with you on that one. So you're agreeing with the grading?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Lindsay.
I'm going to give it a C+.
Wow.
It was, aside from the TLC match, which was excellent, the rest of the pay-per-view was very average for me. It was enjoyable, but it was average. And there wasn't a lot that really was surprising. The Del Rio face turn got me, but that was about it. And honestly, I have to take points off for the two Divas matches.
Okay. All right, C+ from Lindsay. Omega.
I'm going to go ahead and give it the B consensus. I mean, you've got a Diva Battle Royal that made no sense. You've got a lot of filler because Randy Orton has an owie. But you had a lot of really strong matches, and you've got one of the top matches of the year in here. So I can't discredit it too much.
Plus, you had the Brooklyn Brawler.
Yeah.
And the Brawler.
Can't forget about the Brawler.
The only thing I wanted more was I wanted acceptance speeches for the WWE.com Slammies.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Or at least Damian Sandow bitching about the fact that he did not win Best Facial Hair.
We might get that tomorrow. You never know.
This is true.
Yeah, it could happen on Monday night.
But speaking of winners, Tim.
Yes, it is time for the WWE Pick'em, and I'm just going to tell you who tied for second place first.
No.
Chris.
Start from the bottom and work your way up.
Start from the bottom. Okay, at 16 with Rob with 2-5. 3-2 was HBM at 17. In 16th is Ben at 500. That's 3-3. Starscream, Josh, and Omega tied at 14th were 4-1. Missed a couple matches. And then tied at 11th, Subway, Jed, Michael, all 4-3. And of course, Michael, I know you're probably listening to the show because I see in the chat room as opposed to listening to the archive. And hello to you in Svedenland, I believe you're in. He's either in Switzerland or Svedenland. I'm just waiting to get his reply. But hello once again to Michael. Staying up until 7 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning over there just to listen to us ramble. Awesome.
Something like that.
Yeah. And then tied for second place. Starting from the bottom of the list, working up at 5-2 is Chris, Tommy, Brent, Mace, Rock, Lindsay, Tim, Rock again. How does Kane not get this, for Christ's sake?
What two did I miss?
I'll tell you in a second.
Hang on a second. No, seriously, Kane Kittens, how do you not get this? Everybody else calls in, and you got people doing their picks like two or three times in the week. They all get once, but you put Rock up twice. Fucking stop it.
Battle Royal, Lindsay, and you called the TLC no contest.
Yeah.
Well, I knew the TLC. I didn't realize Battle Royal count. Okay, whatever.
There you go. And that the Mayans were correct, and the world is ending on Friday, December 21st, 2012, with 6-1, number one, doing a drum roll on my desktop. Spug!
Go Spug!
Now,
I went out there at 5-1. I was only one short.
Four and one. You were 4-1.
You were 4-1.
Well, fuck. I didn't get to hear all the matches then.
Oh.
That's why you have to tune into the rack when we give out all the matches.
There you go.
You usually ask.
You always tell us to piss off. I'm busy. I'm recording. I'm doing other stuff.
I don't recall using the phrase piss off at any one point.
You just say more kindly.
No, he usually tells me to fuck off.
Okay. I do not.
I bet you do.
He tells me to fuck off and to get back in the basement. That's exactly what he says.
You can see
it might not be in that order, but maybe.
Oh my god.
You're clear he's not denying it.
So there it is. Anyway, yeah, WWE's TLC pay-per-view, and based on the grading we gave it, it's a very low B. Almost a B minus, but not quite. So, if you were considering getting the replay, go ahead. Not a problem. It worked.
Alright, Ken sent me and you, Tim, the year-end results for Pick'em.
Oh, he sent them to you? Did he send them to me? I didn't get them.
They're in the email. We'll get to them in a minute, but first, because we'll start the segment and we'll get to it, it's time now for the ever-so-long great debate.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Are you ready?
It's now time for this week's WTR Great Debate.
Are you serious, bro? What?
Join the hosts as they debate the greatest wrestling entrance theme of all time.
I am CM Punk, and I am the voice of the voiceless.
Now step in to the WTR Squared Circle for this week's Great Debate.
You didn't say that. Tell me. You did not just say that.
By the way, bravo to King Kittens for doing all this hard work.
Yeah, I did not expect the year-end results thing. Kudos to you, you shitbag. Yes, and I called you a shitbag just because of all the shots you take at me over the air, but still.
Still, yeah. We'll get to the results after we do the great debate.
Yeah.
Tim will announce the results when we're done. Give him time to go through it. Up next in the great debate, we're down to the very end almost. Up first, it is the Sandman taking on the Million Dollar Man.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay. 'Cause the Million Dollar Man.
chat room tonight. I'm just saying.
Well, that's good. I like an interactive chat room.
Yeah.
Don't worry, guys. Sometime down the road in the future, eventually, you'll be able to get to actually call in and talk to us.
Nah, who does that? Don't call in on Monday nights. We'll take your phone calls. So, Tim, you spoke up first. Sandman or the Million Dollar Man?
I hate you putting this goddamn list together. I'm not gonna hesitate or hum and haw on this one. I have to go with the Million Dollar Man.
And yeah, it is the greatest entrance theme of all time.
Yeah, I gotta go with Million Dollar Man as opposed to Enter Sandman. I'm sorry, not so much a wrestling entrance as a heavy metal pop song. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's one for the Million Dollar Man. Lindsay.
It's that loud.
Sorry. I'm going to have to second Tim's vote on the Million Dollar Man, and I'm going to have to agree. It is the laugh. It is so fitting to Ted DiBiase. Yes, it's generic, but you hear that laugh, and it's just like you know exactly who it is.
Right.
And I'm sorry, Ted DiBiase was just the quintessential villain for me. As far as watching back, it's just, I adore him. So yeah, sorry. Insert Mace rant here at all of us for picking Million Dollar Man over Sandman, but yeah, Ted wins.
Omega.
Sorry, Mace. It's going to be a sweep. I like both entrances, but you know what? Ted DiBiase's was made for him, and it fits him. The Sandman has Enter Sandman because it's a song about a Sandman, and it sounds cool. It's great when the audience gets into it, but it's still a song that they lifted for him, not made for him.
Oh, baby, don't say a word. Never mind that noise you heard. Just the beasts under your bed.
See, at least when I make an ass of myself with a song, I sing it.
Yeah, no, Brock has enough clips of me like that.
Terrible says, don't sing, Tim. Well, if you want to hear him sing. Anyway.
No, you don't. Please, don't worry about it. There is no record of me singing anything from the Beatles on the internet hidden away anywhere, and nobody needs to know anything further. Fuck off, move on.
in the biggest upset of them all, the 14 seed Ted DiBiase's beats the number one seed in this round. Up next, we have Chris Jericho taking on The Undertaker.
Hate you. to no one's surprise, I'm going to pick The Undertaker. And my reasoning behind it is because comparing Jericho's theme to The Undertaker's theme, Jericho's is very par for the course as far as wrestling themes go. It has a nice beat to it. It's got nice bass. It's basically, it's what you think of when you think of an entrance theme.
If you give it an 85, I'm going to scream. It's got a good beat. You can dance to it. You're going to give it an 85?
I never heard that reference, but okay.
American fan.
Tim showing his age.
Get up!
Yeah. Just a little bit. Is that what they used to do on the bandstand show? Anyway, Takers is, it stands on its own. There is no other theme like it. And even back when it was introduced all those years ago, it was different. It was unique. And it's still different. It's still unique. And it is so closely associated to him. Not that Break the Walls Down isn't, but it's just, you hear that gong. And it's that type of thing. He doesn't even have to be there. They just play that gong. They just play that music and people react to it. So yeah, I'm going with Taker.
Omega. You hate me now, don't you?
Now? Yeah, play the roundtable intro and ask me when I hated you.
Well, it's right there, and I can hit it anyway.
Yeah, we're not doing roundtable tonight. But we'll have Rock play the intro, just so we don't
shut.
Leave wanting.
Shut your noise hole.
you know, for that, I'm going to play it.
Excuse me!
Oh, wrong one.
You asshole.
Anyway, go ahead.
I hate to vote against it because it is one of my favorite wrestling themes. If you put a gun to my head, it's probably my absolute favorite theme. But... Takers is all about the atmosphere it sets. It's not only signature to him, it is perfectly set, not only to the character, the personality, the entrance. It just personifies everything that the Undertaker is. Like, to the point where, yeah, that gong is all you need.
Mm-hmm.
But you hear the rest of it and you know everything that's going to... You know how this match is going to go. You know who this person is. And the guy on the other side of the ring is dead. One way or another. Yeah, I can't vote against Taker here.
Tim, your turn.
I should probably tell you that... First off, this would have been a great for the final... these two would have been a great final to have to choose from, but to realize that it's still going to go on after this is hard. You're not going to let me vote for both of them.
Nope.
I know that much.
Nope.
And you're not going to let me abstain on this one. I know that much.
Well, your vote doesn't matter anyhow.
Oh, I know it vote doesn't matter, but still, this is really difficult. The gong hits and you're like, oh shit, Taker's coming. The gong hits a second time. You look into the ring and you, oh fuck man, you're dead. The gong hits a third time and then it starts with the dirge. And yeah, that gets the crowd going. And it's like, oh, really? In actuality, Undertaker's theme is just a jazzed up version of the funeral march. Really. That's all it is. It's not something that was actually created just for Taker. It's still a very iconic entrance theme, the way they jazzed it up, and it was just a tweak. They didn't have to do any rewrites or anything like that. They just tweaked it and gave it a bit of an entrance, you know, an intro with the gong. But when you hear that noise, wink, you know, like for Jericho's entrance music,
mm-hmm.
It takes me back to 1999. To like, this was playing on WWE for 6 freaking months with the countdown clock and the whole bit. And they repeated the countdown clock with Taz and the whole, and they changed the beginning to the heartbeat. and did something very similar with Taz's debut in WWF.
Mm-hmm.
But going back to 1999, this was the whole beginning of it, and it was WWE's genesis of this type of introduction to a new wrestler with Jericho, and it just summed up the whole thing. And it's like everybody's talking about Y2K and how much of a problem there might be with the computers who can't handle the fact that 1999 is going to be 2000 and not 1900.
Mm-hmm.
As of January 1st, and it was all a part of the culture. And like, even you guys who aren't all that old, you just think back, like 12 years. You know, if those of you who are over 12 years of age, think back 12 years to when, or 13 years to when this was going on.
So basically, you're saying you're paying
Christmas. I'm not done yet, right? It's just
for something that's already decided. Come on now.
You know, I don't know if I can make this unanimous or not. That's the problem. You know, I'm still, last week I was cursing you a blue streak because of this matchup and the way that it wound up.
Oh,
going.
Don't you worry for next week, the Final Four. Don't worry.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear what the next weeks are. But, you know, just thinking about the two of them. Taker, it's iconic. Jericho's is millennial just because it was Y2K. But Y2J.
Tim, find the drill, spin it, and whatever it lands on will be your pick. Come on, let's go.
Break the walls down.
All right, finally, we all knew where that was going. So,
pick one, Rock, you bitch. Pick one.
Taker.
You really did that to avoid a problem. Okay, King Kittens, pick somebody. Those of you who didn't pick Taker.
Doesn't matter. Taker moves on. So does Ted DiBiase moves on in this realm of the great debate. Next week, the final
four. The final four.
The
play
final
it out,
four.
Play it out.
The final four. Eddie Guerrero takes on Edge. Ted DiBiase takes on The Undertaker.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
That should have been the final. Oh, my God.
And I don't have to pick. Yes.
You all realize that this is our fault collectively, right? Because of the way we fucking voted this year. So we don't have nobody to blame but ourselves.
I blame Rock for blocking it this way.
But yeah, isn't it just like they were saying in the chat room? Isn't it just fitting to have DiBiase and Undertaker?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And by the way, Lindsay, you will have to pick next week.
What do you mean I have to pick next week? There's no pay per view next week.
I don't care. You're still gonna pick.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
Yeah.
You can't make me.
Can too.
Not if I'm on Skype or not on Skype.
Oh, we'll find a way to make you pick.
I can hide from you.
Mm. You know, can't. We know where you're.
See if I still have your phone number. Hang on.
It's on her Skype.
It doesn't do you any good if I leave my phone at home.
I will find you.
We will track you down.
We will call you at work.
You have to know my work number.
It's called the internet. Anyway, before we move to the
we're going to become stalkers just to get your pick.
King Kim says, keep her in the basement, Omega, till the show.
What? You bastard.
Yeah, Omega, keep her in the basement till the show.
Where else is she going to be, though?
He needed any help figuring that one out.
You realize he only lets me out to do the shows, right?
And a couple other things.
All right, so what do you want to do?
I don't want to know what goes through your head, Tim.
Yeah, well, let's move on. Tim, you want to announce the year-end pick-em results?
Oh, God, this is just a huge-ass thing to pick. And the just looking at it, the seating and positioning isn't exactly correct. Just because of somebody with more losses. If it was done as a percentage, then everything would be totally different. But coming in on top, according to this, God damn it, it's one of the Rocks.
One of them.
One of the Rocks. Because one of the Rocks has 53 correct picks.
Are you sure he's not combining the multiple rocks?
Yeah, you know, that was my first thought, but I don't think he did that.
No, he breaks it all down, actually.
Yeah, no, he does. He actually gives us the TNA pay-per-view and the WWE pay-per-view, and then he totals it up. But Rock had 53 correct picks, 28 wrong ones. For TNA, he had 27-16, and WWE, he went 27-12.
Well done.
I'm awesome like that.
It's just unbelievable.
I know.
God damn it. I had 43 right. Omega, holy shit, Omega, really? Had 41 right? I had 41 right. Mace had 43 correct outcomes picked overall. Some guy named Brent, apparently he's a real dick weed. He had 48 matches accurately predicted. Subway's up there with 25 and 29.
He's on a roll.
He's on a roll. That's his overall total. This is overall, by the way. Lindsay, you were 40. You went 45 and 36 this year since we started doing this.
Sweet.
Yep. And let me find Starscream Josh. Starscream Josh, I have to concur with you. You suck balls. You went. Your overall record is 10-8. So you're still over 500. But you batted 5-5 for TNA and 5-3 for WWE pay-per-views. Let's see. Spug actually was 9-3. Alan, oh, man, you guys are going to love this. 0-4. He got the first four wrong and said, fuck it, I'm not playing anymore. He took his name dropping and went home.
Basically, that's what he did. But yeah, thanks to King Kins for keeping track of it all.
Yeah, like I said, I have to thank that prick for doing this, all this work.
Play along with us next year. As many people can attest, when we do have prizes, we give them out.
And we shall be efforting, everybody, by the way, we shall be efforting a lot more prizes for 2013, provided we don't, like, all die on Friday.
Yeah. But yeah, we do provide prizes from time to time.
Kane Kitten's got his book.
Yay!
Everyone's been, all the stuff went out for the last few contests. Went out about 10 days ago at this point. So hopefully everyone's gotten their stuff. So, you know, we try.
You know,
when we get a collection of stuff, we like to share it with you, the listeners.
We got to take a look at MN73 rate on the.
Tommy.
That was Tommy?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you, Tommy? I'm looking for you. There you are. You actually were four. Holy shit. That's a great percentage.
41 and 16.
Yeah, 41 and 16, Tommy. Good job! What about Pierce Man? Is he on the list? Who's Pierce Man? That's,
Chris.
Who?
Chris.
I thought you said Bruce, and I'm like, who? Where's Chris? I'm looking. You probably find him. Oh, there he is. And he's at 10 and 8. What? No. No. 36 and 27.
Yes, 36 and 27.
So who else is in the chat room that plays along on
That's about it.
Wait a minute. Michael's in the chat room, and he's also on this list.
Yeah, tonight was his first attempt.
let's just, hey, you know what, for your first attempt, Michael.
He's done it twice, actually.
Yeah, he's gone twice, and the damn thing keeps moving on me.
He's batting 500, 6-6.
Yeah, you're 6-6, which that's not a bad start. Don't worry about it, because a lot of people started like 1-6 or 1-5, and then wind up with like 53.
Right.
So don't worry about it.
I'm just gonna say this now. Your goal is to should be to beat Rob and Subway, because if you fall below them, because they don't watch.
Yeah, if you fall below Rob and Subway, you're in some kind of fucking trouble.
Yeah, just pointing that out, because they smoke a lot. Anyway. On the show, Saturdays, midnight-ish, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Yeah, nice little bloody plug for your goddamn CB radio bloody show.
Damn right.
Exactly, mother boo. Okay, carry on.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them. Wildfire. Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hit.
Okay, Rock, really quickly before you ask the first questions to everybody, I just have to point out, we said that Mace had 43 correct picks. He had 39 wrong. He may have had two more right than me, but he had six more wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Technicalities.
Never you have to justify it somehow.
No. It all works out in sports statistics. So, you know, there it is. It's the winning percentage as opposed to the margin. Go ahead.
I still got more than you, so fuck off.
Bitch.
Damn right.
Tim.
Lindsay, you still picked wrong more times than I did. I still got fewer wrong than you. So go ahead, Rock, ask your damn question.
He just has to be right no matter what, doesn't he?
Tim, will you get your own dick out of your mouth for just a minute and answer the question?
That doesn't make me right or anything like that. That's just saying,
You're trying to make yourself look better.
Ignoring what Omega said. Don't you have questions to ask, Rock?
By the way, tonight's winner is Omega. Anyway, moving along. Tim.
Just because you're a dick. What?
He's on fire tonight. Tim, what's the best chant in wrestling today?
You can't wrestle.
Okay.
No, actually, no. The best chant is that was awesome. Because when you hear that, or this is awesome, when you hear that, you know you're doing something right. Either as a worker in the ring or the guy that's actually writing the shows. There's nothing better to hear than this is awesome.
Unless you are a TNA fan.
Yeah, then you could do it on a bear run.
Yeah,
TNA doesn't count. You know.
Lindsay, who has the best facial hair in the WWE?
I'll tell you who it's not.
Who has the best facial hair?
Tamina Snuka.
Wow.
Oh. Wow, dude, really?
Did I go there? Yes, I did.
Tim,
but because Lita's
the
not there anymore. Sorry, I'll shut up. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Damian Sandow.
Shock.
I could have said Dan O'Brien because it's so fluffy.
Hey, you were calling it fluffy all night long.
But Sandow's beard is not, like, scary yet. He keeps it nice and manicured, and it's still manageable where it's attractive. But it's not Mountain Man-esque like Bryan's. Like, Bryan's is almost getting a little bit too stringy on the ends. He needs to trim that shit.
Well, it's you know, he's growing it so he can make more clothes.
Okay, not at the same time.
He's growing it so long so he can make more clothes.
This is true. He is a cottage industry.
Yes. Because this question's right up Omega's alley. Omega, what has been the best kiss of 2012?
Fuck, I'm glad you said alley.
The best kiss of 2012?
Yes, the best wrestling kiss of 2012.
Because I've been paying attention to so many of them.
Well, it is a slammy tomorrow night on Raw, so.
Is it? Yeah, what the fuck is up Omega's alley? Really?
Sarcasm.
I mean, something up Omega's alley is which wrestler would make a better Transformer?
Whatever.
Hey. For the answer, check out TJTV.
Give me the answer, it's Del Rio's, because he's the only one that comes with his own car.
There you go.
That was too easy.
You know what? I'll make Lindsay happy on this one. It's AJ and Kane.
Which one?
The first one where she just jumps up and clings onto him like an animal climbing a tree.
So basically when she had sex with his face.
That one.
I think we can agree on that one. That goes back to Tim. Tim, what is the most annoying song of all time?
Oh my god, this is the song that never ends. It's because it goes on and on and on.
Does it, my friend?
somebody started singing and not knowing what it was. Now, you know, they'll sing it forever.
Just because?
Just, it's a song that never ends. Is that okay to answer that one?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you want, like, something else? Okay, that's okay.
That was a good
Somebody
move.
Tell him to quit thinking logically. WWE doesn't. We're not allowed to either. Anyway.
No one gets why we're there, but that's okay. Moving on. Lindsay. In your dream home, what is the one item that you must have in your dream home? And it can't be, you know, something typical.
What is the one item I must have in my dream home?
Mm-hmm. And it can't be typical.
Can't be typical.
Mm-hmm.
So the massage chair with built-in vibrator, just, you can't say that because that would be typical.
No, that's you, honey. That's not me.
Holy shit!
The Undertaker is my pool boy.
Can you classify the Undertaker as an item, really? That's kind
yes.
of sense, don't you think? What's the
You're
opposite?
You brought up the vibrating chair. Thank
what's
you very much.
What's the opposite of misogynistic?
I will approve of her choice.
Yeah, you're never.
Compared to the other houses she was showing me the other night, that's kind of tame.
The other what she was showing you the other night?
Houses she was showing me.
What was she showing you?
We were watching some show, some weird...
We were watching a show called Home Strange Home, and it shows all these weird, wacky, unusual homes.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's not like I said I wanted a full-service leather daddy in my house or anything like that. Jeez.
But, yeah, and they had some weird houses. Anyway, Omega, what is the most annoying cartoon song of all the times?
It's all cartoon-based, isn't it?
Well, you're the one who watches cartoons. And
I know I am.
I'm going to burn these cartoon questions to the ground until I think of another topic.
See, that's... God.
And to answer King Kittens, no.
See, that's one of those where there really isn't any correct answer to it.
All right, I'll spin it this way. What's the most annoying song, in your opinion, that, you know, get when you hear it, it gets stuck in your head and you're annoyed by it? We'll go with that way.
No. They don't get stuck in my head, but it's any of those cartoon themes where it was obviously chosen by committee, and it's a bunch of 60-year-old execs going, "What's cool with the kids these days?" Which means they make a cartoon rap. The new Ninja Turtles has a rap intro, and I want to shove pencils through my ears every time I hear it.
That's terrible.
I would have voted for Charlie Harper's version of Oshikuru.
But that's not... Forget it. Oh my god.
It's a real cartoon. It's anime.
Are you proud you know that fact, Tim?
As a matter of fact, yes I am. Quit fucking trying to take it away from me.
Can you sing a little for us?
Which one?
The Oshikuru.
The original one or the Charlie Harper one?
The Charlie Harper one.
No.
Okay, the original.
No.
Not gonna play ball.
Never does.
I learned my lesson.
never plays ball.
Well, I do, but it's my rules.
So you think?
No, anymore. The only time I ever play ball anymore, my rules. Answer the question.
Huh?
I think you kind of did already. You know,
I did.
Ninja Turtles rabbits, that sort of thing.
Okay, are you done asking dumb questions?
See,
no.
I need I need positive cartoon questions. I can't name. I have to stop and think about the ones I hate.
Oh my God! I made you think.
All the questions he's been asking you for cartoons were negative questions.
You didn't ask me my favorite theme. I could name those in a heartbeat.
Well, okay. What's your favorite theme?
Mask followed by Cyber Six.
Okay, there you go. That brings to an end this edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrist Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Those of you with Christmas, Hanukkah, or Kwanzaa, or whatever holiday commitments that you can't join us next Sunday night, 23rd of December, the Sunday before Christmas, happy holidays to you. And once again, thank you for supporting us. In all seriousness, I'm really happy that you guys do tune in to listen to us ramble and basically spend 2.5 hours shooting shit over stuff that we know next to nothing about.
So. Yep, pretty much.
But before Christmas comes, we've got the Raw Post Show tomorrow night, immediately following Raw at, I do believe, let's see, it's 11 o'clock Eastern.
11:30 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, I was trying to do math and conversions at the same time.
You forgot half hour.
Yeah, with a headache, it's just like you forget a half hour here and there. So, yeah, and 3 hours worth of Raw packed into about 45 minutes or so.
As much as we can get through, we try to, and it's a slammy coverage, so we'll give you all your slammy winners tomorrow night on the Raw Post Show.
Woo-hoo. And Tuesday night, it's another edition of Keep Abe Wrestling Radio with Alan Waljack. Hey, the guy interviews people.
Wow, I've never heard you say that plug once before. Ricky Morton will be on the program, so check it out. Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
Yeah, hey, have a great day, Michael, and hopefully we'll see you next week. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show.
8:30 p.m. Eastern, join Jim Schaefer, Brian Riley, Scott Barry, and the Cheap Wood Panel as they discuss anything and everything that you possibly think of in the world of pro wrestling. If you missed their last three shows, they've reflected on indie wrestling, TNA, and WWE. So check it out. It's just another goddamn wrestling show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, hey, Rock, after they finish their show on Wednesday night, do you want to talk about the how bad the NHL has devolved into?
Don't I do enough shows already?
With the latest problems?
I do enough shows.
You know, we could just talk about it and not actually make it to the show. Just get on the mic and talk about it.
We'll see. Maybe.
We'll see. Thursday night, Lindsay's Rack is exposed at 11 o'clock Eastern.
Really?
I'll save this plug, yes. Tune in Thursday night because I've told Lindsay this idea and she thinks it's awesome. I'm going to tell you why Hulk Hogan returned to WWE at WrestleMania 30 and have the greatest matchup of all time.
It's going to be epic. Tune in and listen. Also, tune in and listen to our review of Impact. We're going to talk a little bit more about TLC and, well, we need topics, questions, suggestions. So if you have anything you'd like us to discuss or you want discussed, send your suggestions to media@wildtalkradio.com, or you can tweet us @wildtalkradio, or you can go to the Facebooks and you can post the message on facebook.com/wildtalkradio. So please send us that stuff because we have nothing to talk about. Kane Kittens, we're going to do your Hall of Fame topic hopefully this week. We wanted to pass it around to everybody, and Rock was sick last week, so we're saving it for this week, right?
If we can get around to everyone, yes. It's facebook.com/wildtalkradio.network.
Sorry, yeah. facebook.com/wildtalkradio.network.
There you go.
Yeah. And, of course, this Friday is the end of the world. You are all invited to have a front row seat to Johnny Casimir's wake-up call as we basically usher in the end of times with a bunch of guests talking about the weird, the wacky, the far out, the Mayans, ancient aliens, space aliens from other planets, which is kind of a redundant thing to say. But you get the idea. It's going to be an epic special Friday night, 9 o'clock Eastern. Tune in and watch the world explode with us.
It's going to be, you know, it's the end of the world because Tim Stein's actually going to produce a show on his own.
I'm not. It's Jason.
Ooh.
Saturday night, midnight as close as I can get it. It's the Christmas edition of CB Radio.
Pretty much, that's what it is. It's a Christmas show. Everyone show up. Send suggestions for 12 days of WTR. And if we make it, you know, it's going to be on the air. So check it out. See if you're in a midnight-ish, weird, wacky, unusual.
Yeah, and of course, I'm just multitasking thing here. Sorry about that. But we got to talk about next Sunday night, because normally we do an episode of Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night, and most of the time it's live. But next Sunday night, actually, what we're going to do is let Omega do the best of WTR.
What?
That's right, the best of Wrestle Talk Radio with your host, Omega.
Fuck the fuck off.
I had to. I'm sorry, Omega. I had to.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I did so. Yeah, join us.
Hold on. By the way, Omega, I no-sold what Tim was trying to get me to do. He wanted me to play the BWO theme just to be an asshole. I ignored him. I shot him down.
So you're a fucker. Anyway, moving on. Next
like
Sunday
Christmas
night.
Wish. Thank you, Rock.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Next Sunday night, we're gonna just shoot the shit, have fun, and spend Sunday night with you, and do whatever.
It's gonna be so fun. Join us
at our regular time.
Join us. We're gonna talk wrestling and whatever else we can think of. It's WTR Sunday night.
We'll talk about cars and Cokes and, I don't know, we'll talk about alcohol and we could talk about fire. Shit! Fire! Call the I gotta go. Bye.
Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join our Facebook group, Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. WTRProductions.net. Follow Lindsay on Twitter at Lindsay Ward. Go to psychwarddesigns.com.
Yes.
CassieRiley.net. Follow Omega at TJ Omega, or go to TJOmega.org because he's an organization. Because he's that special.
An organization.
He's an IMDb.
One.
Yes. Follow Omega on IMDb. Because he's that awesome of a person. Visit Canadian.
And doesn't he do this little YouTube show too?
Yeah, this thing over on YouTube, where I'm currently going insane by doing a video every day.
But think of the swag you're going to pull in.
If I'm still sane by then.
Wait. You've never been sane.
Yeah, I was going to say, that would be a first.
You hang around with
this
us.
I am, like, casually insane.
Are you sure about that?
No. At the end of this month, I might be full-blown Looney Tunes on this one.
Okay.
I might spend my ad revenue on crates full of dental floss, for all I know.
Well, I know what you do at night, so I wouldn't be surprised.
You don't need to tell anybody about that.
Oh, but it's so much fun, and I'm waiting for you to let me put the videos up, but you won't let me. What is up with that? That could be the Christmas special.
There you go.
I'm not reviewing those toys online. I keep telling you this.
Damn it, you are just no fun.
It's not what you said in the video.
Come on, Mr. Host, take us out. Apparently he's not. Anyway, thank you everyone for joining us. Visit tweakedaudio.com, pwmania.com. Thanks to Lindsay, as always, for being here. Omega. And that crazy Canuck, Tim Stein. I'm Sir Rock. We'll see you next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. And we'll see you for another post show tomorrow night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Bye!
You know what we should do? We should give King Kids an hour on the air just to bash Tim.
Dude, let's do it!
Yes.
We should just give him an hour special hosted by King Kids where he just bashed him. I think it would be epic.
It's a Christmas gift to everyone.
There you go. Stay tuned.
WildTalkRadio.com